It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. And be sure and check out our website. It is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. It comes out on Sundays. And it'll highlight all the upcoming guests, as well as our op-eds and our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. If you go there right now, you can see a couple of things. Earlier this week, we had Alan Thomas on. He's written a really important piece, The Scary History of Qualified Immunity. And the other op-ed is up as well. It's a book, a bourbon, and a cigar. Or a Belvedere. I think, what was the... I should say, who am I talking to? I'm talking to my good friend, Brad Beck. So, Brad Beck, how are you?
I'm doing unbelievable. Good morning, Kim. Good morning, America. It's a great day to be in Colorado.
It is a great day to be in Colorado. And it is Friday. Producer Steve, your favorite, well, one of your favorite days of the week.
All I can say is amen. Because I got done looking at this, the package that Patty sends over every morning. I'm ready to go home.
There's a lot to talk about. And speaking of that, I want to say thank you to this amazing team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve and Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. I so appreciate each of you. And each of you listeners, thank you. I love hearing from you. Every day, more and more of you are signing up for our weekly newsletter. Thank you. You're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Strive for excellence, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. So, first segment here, we'll go through some headlines. Second segment, we'll get an update on both the mortgage market and the real estate market with Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group and Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance, both of them very valued partners of mine. And another valued partner is Liberty Toastmasters, Brad Beck. You're one of the co-founders of that, and really helping people be able to find their voice and to be able to communicate. We're in this great battle of ideas in America today, and so helping people finding their voice is so important, Brad Beck.
It is, and I think a big component of this that not enough people do today is listening to what other people are saying and then acknowledging what they say, but then also talking and having a discussion. There's not enough talking, and there's too much pointing. And we're talking past each other. So in Liberty Toastmasters, we practice the art of oral communication, leadership skill development, and listening.
You know, one of the other things, we always think about speaking, and you mentioned listening. A couple of other components of each meeting is, one, table topics, where given an impromptu subject and have about 2 to 3 minutes to talk about that, it's very difficult. It's very fun, but it's really important.
Well, if you know the theme of the meeting, you can come prepared. I always try to come prepared to the meeting with an idea and bookend that with what I want to talk about that day, answering the question. Now, the key there is sometimes you get a mind freeze and you're not going to answer the question correctly. So you can talk about the weather or whatever you want to talk about. But the idea is you get up and talk to the audience for 2 to 3 minutes on any subject and are able to articulate the ideas based on a principle.
The other component of these meetings typically is the evaluation component. And I have to tell you that I really used that when I was on city council. And to that point, first of all, you have to listen. And then we do the bookend approach. Explain that, Brad Beck.
Well, I like to have a prepared idea that is story bound. So in the opening, I try to funnel somebody in with a quote or an idea or provocative statement, then work with the idea that I'm dealing with, the problem or issue, and then I like to have a call to action. And by doing that and coming prepared, I'm more apt to get other people to listen rather than just rattle off a bunch of stuff that nobody's going to pay attention to, especially with facts and figures. Mm-hmm. Stories go to the heart. Mm-hmm. Facts and figures go to the mind. You lose people.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that is really, really important is we need to be engaged in what's happening out there in our country. We need to be showing up at city council meetings, going down to the Capitol, making our voices heard. And typically you'll only have 2 to 3 minutes, which when you make public comments, seems like it's not very long, but you know, in a country and Western song, you can do a whole life there. So you just have to learn to be concise, be able to stay on point. And again, I think that's a really important component of Liberty Toastmasters.
Well, as I remind people all the time, Abraham Lincoln spoke 272 words in the Gettysburg Address, and he said in about 2 minutes what it took Edward Everett, the orator of the day, the person who was giving the great speech at Gettysburg. Nobody remembers his name, but everybody remembers that 2 minutes and so many seconds of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, because it was clear, concise, and he spoke to the nation about coming back together and what the purpose of our country was all about.
Well, and speaking of Gettysburg, Steve and I have been working on what we're going to be doing next week for our show. And July 1 is when the Battle of Gettysburg began. It was fought July 1 through July 3. And we will be talking with Dr. Alan Gelzo, who is with Princeton University. He's an expert on Gettysburg. So you will not want to miss that next Wednesday.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. You know, and another thing, Brad, as we need to put our thinking caps on, we need to have critical thinking. Rudyard Kipling lived at the end of the 1800s, early 1900s. He wrote The Jungle Book. But we talk about this all the time, and you can ask these six questions, and it really starts to hopefully start to make people think. He says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. What do you think about that, Brad Beck?
I love it. It's alliteration. It gets you to think. And I'm always curious how people noodle these things for a while and put the words together. You know, there's 26 letters in the alphabet, and somehow we have literature. We have great thoughts. We have great ideas from those 26 letters. You just got to figure out what order to put them in.
But Brad, I did a little research on that quote just now.
Yes.
We found out that there was a seventh guy.
Ah.
What's for lunch?
There.
And that smart aleck is producer Steve. Okay, producer Steve, our wisdom for today. Okay, it's Marcus
Please.
Tullius.
We need some.
Cicero.
Okay.
He was a Roman statesman, lawyer, and academic skeptic philosopher who played an important role in the politics of the late Republic and vainly tried to uphold Republican principles during the crisis that led to the establishment of the Roman Empire. His extensive writings included treatises on rhetoric, philosophy, and politics, and he is considered one of Rome's greatest orators and prose stylists. He came from a wealthy municipal family of the Roman Equestrian Order and served as consul in the year 63 BC. He lived 106 BC to 43 BC. Okay, you ready, Steve?
Yes.
A nation cannot survive its fools.
Amen.
And even the ambitious. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself.
How applicable.
Can you believe it?
We talked about a story yesterday where the self-proclaimed leader of Black Lives Matter, either of the entire movement or the New York area, basically, I say it's a threat. If the U.S. doesn't give us what we want, we'll burn it down. And I'm, transcribing, or not, probably not quoting him correctly, but you get the gist of it. And Trump turned around and responded to him. And he says, that, sir, is treason. Mm-hmm. And he had a couple other words that went with it, too. I mean, not bad words, but I'm just not able to recall them. You openly threaten, and again, he's a person, a citizen within. He's not the enemy at the gate. So it just shook me mm-hmm. down to my toes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we look at this. Cicero lived, before Christ. And we need to learn our history. This idea that we are tearing down our history because it's imperfect. It is imperfect, but it is excellent. And so this idea, and the excellent idea is that all men are created equal with these rights given by God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that is final. And so how can we work to try to make that idea more perfect? And this is what these people are trying to tear down. Now, Steve, I wanted to just kind of noodle this around with you. You know, we had Alan Thomas on the show on Monday morning. He's written this great piece about the scary history of qualified immunity. And he really changed my mind on that because I was very concerned about taking away qualified immunity for our everyday police officers that are out there on the beat trying to keep our communities safe. And as we know here in Colorado, now I'm getting my bill numbers mixed up. I think it's Senate Bill 2217, where they took away qualified immunity for our everyday police officers. But I actually have read the bill, and it's so interesting that they did not take away qualified immunity for the state patrol, which is under the auspice of Governor Polis. Now, the reasoning they say is because there would be a fiscal note. Well, if there's a fiscal note that the state can't afford because of this litigious society that we have, how are these little municipalities and counties going to be able to afford that as well? And so with that, though, Alan, he really convinced me that qualified immunity is probably not a good idea. And so what we need to do is take qualified immunity away from all those bureaucrats and politicians that are doing things to damage people. Which brings us to our first article of the day, Steve. And that is Seattle Chop Zone prompts lawsuit from businesses and residents. It says numerous Seattle businesses, including an auto repair shop, a tattoo parlor, and a property management company, sued the city Wednesday, alleging city officials were complicit in allowing an occupied protest that has made them feel unsafe in their neighborhood, according to reports. Workers and residents also joined the lawsuit over CHOP, the Capitol Hill occupied protest, which drew scorn from President Trump and other critics who accused Mayor Jenny Durkan, the city's police chief, and other city leaders of turning the area over to anarchists. So instead of the city having to pay, which would be the taxpayers, how about we take away qualified immunity, Steve, for Mayor Jenny Durkan, the city's police chief, and those other city leaders? That's what I think we should do.
Well, I've been listening, you know, to all the comments coming out of Seattle. The mayor, when she dubbed this the Summer of Love before the shootings last week, that took her wind out of her sails. I'm not really sure where the police chief lines up on this, because I really think she's trying her best to hold it all together. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, I guess. That's a good idea.
It's very difficult to hold it together with anarchists. So let's go to break, though. Before we go to break, I need to mention our I'm a Trumpster. Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas have created this brand, I'm a Trumpster. And they have purchased a bus that they are going to take into minority communities to make the case. And we're going to have a very clear decision here. And the decision is, do we vote for liberty, for the ability for everyday people to be able to innovate, create, and prosper? Or are we going to vote for anarchy and destruction? And Reggie and Johnny are stepping forward. They're stepping up to the plate with this minority bus tour, but we need to help them raise the money for the vinyl wrap on this. It's $10,000. And all of you that have contributed, thank you, thank you, thank you. For every $50 that you contribute, you will receive one of their really cool battle masks. And so how this works, I know it's a little complicated, but go to I'm a Trumpster, imatrumpster.com, contribute, and then email me, because we're going to have a big party with the bus. Instead of a party bus, we're going to have a party with the bus, Steve. Ha! What do you think of that? So,
well, again, and just to be specific, in case this is the first time somebody's hearing about it, the wrap, the bus, is what we're referring to as a WRAP type of wrap.
You got it. So before we go to break, also, Hooters Restaurants is one of my valued partners. We'll be talking with Lauren Levy and Karen Levine here in just a moment. Two more of my valued partners, but Hooters has five locations: Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They're open for dine-in, to-go, delivery, and curbside service. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Great time to just meet your friends out there on the deck, have some nachos, some wings, some beverages. We're coming into the 4th of July Independence Week. So go over to Hooters and just treat yourself. More information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Lauren Levy will update us on what's happening in the mortgage market. He is the creator of Polygon Financial Group. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we'd appreciate it if you'd go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Lauren Levy. He is the founder, owner of Polygon Financial Group, and he is an expert in the mortgage market. Lauren Levy, happy Friday. This is Steve's favorite day, Lauren.
It's most people's favorite day. Good morning.
So what is going on over in the interest rate market, in the mortgage market? I have to tell you, Lauren, I've not been paying attention this week.
That's okay. Things are still very steady. Rates are still very low. And things are actually improving a little bit in certain areas where we were seeing some struggles. One example I'm referring to is VA loans for people that are active military or veterans that have eligibility for VA loans. Those were kind of tied up with some of the issues that we're having with purchasing on the back end. And just the other day, I got a note that VA loan rates are even lower now, and that they're getting more back to normal, which is great news for those people that qualify for those loans.
You know, Lauren, we've had a conversation about these VA loans. And as you know, I have interviewed over 130 World War II veterans, and Korea, Vietnam, the younger guys as well. And, I think we talked, you said sometimes the government doesn't get things right, but they've done a pretty good job generally on this, correct?
That's my opinion, yes. VA loans are great. They have really low rates, even lower than conventional rates. They allow veterans and active duty folks to purchase homes with very little to zero down. They can get cash out of their home, all the way up to the value of their home, which is completely different than a conventional loan. And they don't have mortgage insurance associated with them. So it's a really good program for people that qualify. It's one of the best things the government's done, in my opinion.
Well, you know, you think about it, people, and as we're coming into, you know, next week is celebration of our independence, the 4th of July. You know, people that have been willing to step forward and put their lives on the line to protect freedom and liberty and to stand against tyranny. I think it is really good that we can do something for them in this particular arena. And so if there are active military or veterans that, would this be like on a refi as well? Is that possible or not?
Yeah, so this program is for any type of loan, purchase, cash out, refinance. And actually, they have a program, we call it more of a streamline. It's just when you're looking to just simply lower the rate or the term on your loan. It's called an interest rate reduction loan, a VA IRL. And that has very little paperwork required. You don't need a lot of pay stubs and W-2s and things because you're just simply trying to lower your rate. And you have to meet certain criteria. You have to be able to lower the rate by a certain amount. But it's a very smooth loan for veterans and active duty, and very easy, and something that people should take a look at if they have a VA loan, just to see if they can simply just lower their rate and save some money.
Now, and if they give you a call, 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881, you will pay for the appraisal. So you can, you know, sit down and do a checkup. You'll pay for the appraisal. And that's a pretty good offer, I think, there, Lorne.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad to do that for your listeners. And to be fair, a lot of the loans we're doing nowadays, just because of the COVID-19 and appraisers not wanting to go in the house, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have loosened up, and we've been getting a lot of what's called appraisal waivers where we don't even need one. And so it makes the loan go even quicker and more less pain because they don't have to let somebody in their house. So things are just going smooth and quick nowadays.
Really? That doesn't seem like anything's going smooth and quick these days. So, Lorne Levy, we've got it right there from you. One other thing. Last week you had mentioned that I think Jan up near Fort Collins had called you. Did you guys get connected yet?
No, not yet. I did not hear back. So I'm not sure if she was listening last Friday or not.
Okay. So if Jan up near Fort Collins is listening, Lorne did not get your phone number. And so call him at 303-880-8881 because he would really love to hear from you.
Perfect. I appreciate it.
Okay. Lorne Levy, you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thank you. You as well, Kim.
Okay. Thanks. And another one of my value partners, Karen Levine, is on the line. You know her. She's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Ms. Kim. It's been a couple weeks, so it's nice to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice as well. And what is happening in the real estate market? Have things heated up since it's now summertime?
They have. They have. And, you know, I've been sharing typically the last 7-day numbers on Friday morning, and new listings in the last 7 days. We have 1,983 new listings along the Front Range, but we have put 2,542 houses under contract in that same time. So,
good grief.
We continue to see a lot of activity in the marketplace, and totally would like to encourage any listener who has given some thought about making a change in their housing, now is a great time to get your home on the market. Just think of this as March instead of June. And that's what we're seeing, and that's exciting. We also saw 1,821 homes close, which starts to look like the numbers we should see. So the housing market is certainly doing a good job helping us recover from this recession that we're in the midst of.
Well, Karen, you and I have known each other a long time. And actually, if I would tell people how long we have known each other, it wouldn't match up with the age that I give on my birthday. But we've known each other a long time. And you are the consummate professional. And you have great negotiating skills. I know you won't brag really on yourself, but you have great negotiating skills, which a good transaction is where everybody walks away and they feel that they have been represented well, and that, you know, everybody feels like it's a good endeavor. And mm-hmm. I know that that really is one of your strengths.
It is, and I'm not afraid to negotiate. I think sometimes when you don't have good market knowledge, you don't know what areas you can negotiate in and where you can push and push appropriately. You know, we've heard for the last 3 to 4 years that it's a seller's market. And in that regard, our goal in representing buyers is to make sure they get the home. And we've had cash buyers who believe that because they're paying cash, they should pay less than the market rate. Well, in this marketplace, the goal is to get the home, and as a cash buyer, you have a better opportunity. So you have to write a strong full price or market value offer to do that. And then our friends that work with Lorne, who are financing, need a realtor who understands the strength of a good lender, can sell the other agent on Lorne's strengths, and make sure that their loan is pre-approved, they're ready to go in there strong. So for buyers, I just encourage them to reach out to myself and to learn and make sure they have all their ducks in a row well, so that they can negotiate strongly in a competitive marketplace, and we can be successful and find them that right house.
Okay. And one other thing, I think people don't really realize, but if you're looking at a new build, it's also good to mm-hmm. have somebody sitting on your side of the table with you, and that is something that you can do, Karen Levine.
Yes, and you and I chatted about just projects throughout the metropolitan area that people might not be aware of or may be aware of but haven't thought about a new home, a brand new home. And if you are thinking of that, it's important to reach out to me as well, because when you walk into that sales office for the builder, the builder's representative is representing the builder. And the builders along the Front Range are very cordial and open to buyers who come in with representation. They actually appreciate us and what we bring to the table. And I thought I'd just take a minute and highlight a great community up here in Arvada called Candelas. And Candelas is a 1,500-acre master plan community. They have six parks. They have 13.5 miles of trails. They have two swimming and fitness clubs, and they have a K-8 Jefferson County Public School. But the reason I wanted to highlight it is that they are almost sold out. But they still have homes starting in the low 300s, and they have an absolute, beautiful town. They're townhomes, but they're beautiful, built by Century Communities. And then they have homes as high as $1.5 million is the model home by Toll Brothers. I found that several of the builders are selling their model homes because they're closing out. So I've watched that community grow and become an amazing place for people to raise a family, to retire, because it's a great planned community with lots of nice amenities.
Okay, well, if people want more information, you can reach Karen at 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. And I bet you're going to be busy this weekend, Karen Levine.
Well, I am ready to be busy, so feel free to give me a call, reach out, and I am happy to help.
Well, Karen Levine, RE/MAX Alliance, thank you so much. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
That sounds great. Thanks, Kim.
Okay, and Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, top of the morning to you.
Well, good morning, Kim.
So I really wasn't under a rock yesterday, but I didn't pay attention to the market. What happened?
Well, it was somewhat of an interesting day. We went back and forth a little bit. We were up for most of the day. It started fading with about an hour to go, or a little bit more than an hour to go. Looked like we were going to kind of give back all of the gains for the day and end up negative. And then in the last hour, the Dow just kind of jumped 300 points. So we ended up with some reasonably decent gains for the day, Kim. Kind of interesting stuff going on with some of the banks. Part of the reason we got the jump at the end of the day was due to some relaxation and some regulatory rules for the banks as far as the Volcker rule, where they're going to be able to, you know, invest money into things that are a little bit more risky than they've been able to. The banks, you know, stocks were happy about that. I don't know really how that sounds, Kim. It seems like they didn't do a very good job back in 2008 when they were allowed to do these kind of things, and they put us into a bad way.
So what do you think is going to happen today? What's the futures looking like?
Well, now the futures are down about 100, and then we had more drama with the banks as the Fed told them they weren't allowed to buy back stock or raise dividends, at least during the second quarter. So it was really kind of a tug-of-war with bank stock news yesterday. We'll see what happens. Again, it's still a long time till the market opens. The futures, like I say, are down about 100. That's not a whole heck of a lot. Certainly doesn't say where we're going to be at the end of the day today, does it, Kim?
No, for sure. And, you know, I was just thinking, I don't know if all the amusement parks are open or not, but you don't have to go to, you don't have to buy a ticket. You can just sit there and watch the market all day long. Jason
right,
McBride.
You don't have to wear a mask if you don't want to.
There you go. So, Jason, I really would recommend, though, people to, because of all this volatility, I think, you know, people are kind of looking at the knot in their stomach. If you have a big knot in your stomach, maybe you need to make some changes. But certainly I would recommend a checkup with you and your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management. And, you know, just make sure that you're in a position that you can, you know, ride this volatility and you feel confident about that.
Well, that's true, Kim. It's hard to get all of the knots out completely anytime you're invested in the market at all, but maybe we can get the knots smaller, help you to at least see your big picture a little bit more clearly, which can also help. And if you need to make changes, we can assist with that. If everything looks okay, I mean, we're happy to let you know that as well and say, yeah, I'll go on your merry way. Everything looks okay as long as it's okay with you.
Well, and so for more information, you can reach out to Jason via our landing page together. It's AIR, AIR Presidential.com. AIR, that's AIR Presidential.com. And that's just a great way to see your podcast and all the great work that you do over there with Presidential Wealth Management, Jason McBride.
All right. Thank you very much, Kim. You have a great show.
Thanks so much. We'll talk to you on Monday. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, in studio is my good friend Brad Beck. He's written a really interesting op-ed, a book, a bourbon, and a Belvedere. And he started it off with, when was the last time you won an argument or discussion on social media? Never, huh?
Never.
So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll have this very important conversation. Stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. In studio with me is my good friend Brad Beck. He's one of the co-founders of Liberty Toastmasters, which I would so highly recommend people to join at least for a little while, because it really helps to, here, I'm counting my ahs and my ums, Brad. Oh, that's one of the things that we do. And there's things that we do. I just did another one. It's called a double clutch. It's like and, or you know, we love there. Everybody has a word that they like to fill things with, and it can be different. Some days mine's some days it's so, some days it's and it's really great to go to Liberty Toastmasters. As you can tell, we're not perfect, but it really helps people in their communication and listening skills.
You understand that those filler words are, there I go.
I know.
It's conversational. It's mm-hmm. part of who we are, but we're trying to think, and a lot of times we don't know the answer. And so this is deadly in radio, but if you have a pause and then go on, you're more likely to get people to lean in and listen to you rather than with the ah, the the so, the double clutch, which is starting and stopping again. And so you get used to that. You get an understanding of why that sounds there I go. I'm noticing right now. Your ear perks up to that. And so what we try to do is practice it. We have a grammarian, and the grammarian will count how many ahs and sometimes you count it out. Sometimes you just acknowledge it and say you had a lot today. Mm-hmm. But you get a base of where you are, and then you have an understanding. And if you have an awareness of it, you're less likely to do it.
Generally, yes. I listen to, you know, the national people, And they even do the double clutches and the ums and the ands. So we all can improve. And I'm thinking, just as we're going through this, this is an improvement, my friends out there. And so I need, and so anyway, let's jump into the conversation, because we need to be able to communicate with each other. And you have a ritual, if you will, that engages your neighbors in conversation.
It does. I love my neighborhood. I live in a front porch community, they call it. Everybody's got a front porch. And when weather is good, usually on a Saturday or Sunday after all the chores are done, and I'm just ready to get out there and read my book that I'm reading. I love reading. I'm a voracious reader, and I read all kinds of material, but in particular, books on business or history or philosophy or public policy. And I'll have a adult beverage, usually a bourbon, sometimes a scotch, but, you know, it's the end of the afternoon, sun is going down, and I'll have a favorite stogie, mm-hmm. a Belvedere or a Churchill, and I'll sit out there, and my neighbors will walk by, walk their dogs, walk with their kids, and a conversation ensues, and they all know I'm out there, and, hey, what are you reading now? What are you, you know, having to drink? What are you mm-hmm. smoking? Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about it is it's a sense of community that is long, long gone. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, people are driving into their garages, they shut the door, they go inside, and they go to the back deck. Or if they go outside at all, they turn on the TV. And so little kids see me reading, and I'll wave to them. Little kids ride their bikes by, and they'll stop and look at me, and they'll say something because they know my house is the Halloween house in the neighborhood.
Right. You so, go you know, all out for Halloween.
We do.
I've seen pictures.
And it's a lot of fun to have that conversation. And it doesn't matter what the political background, what your religion, what anything. It's just, hi, how are you? The niceties of life. And sometimes neighbors will come up on the porch and say, hey, I saw this in the newspaper. What do you think about it? Or this on the news. And we have a conversation. Too many people are ready to say, you know what, you're wrong, rather than listen to you mm-hmm. and say, that's interesting. I've not heard that before. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. How does that affect you? Or what do you think about that? Or where did you learn that? Mm-hmm. And now we have a conversation. And too many people, especially on Facebook, say things they wouldn't say in front of people to their face. And so what I started to do many years ago was to put a picture of a book I'm reading, a bourbon, a cigar, whatever, and it's on my front porch. Usually it's pretty consistent, but people want to know what I'm reading, and they're curious about ideas. And it's amazing how many people I've influenced to get a book, more so than the other two things. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is you create a dialogue, and usually offline. A lot of people today do not want to publicly say anything, mm-hmm. so they'll direct message me, or they'll send me an email and say, hey, mm-hmm. what did you think about this? And there is a dialogue. And that doesn't happen enough. But if I can influence somebody to read something, even if they disagree with it, something happens where people connect and they start talking to each other rather than yelling at each other. And so I've never won a Facebook or any other social media battle. The only one I know who does it really good here in Colorado is our friend Dr. Tom Cranwitter. Mm-hmm. He'll put an idea out there and he'll have people talk, and they're respectful and they're civil. Mm-hmm. But that's the exception. So this is my way of influencing and getting people to at least take a look at something. And I've only had the opportunity one time to block anybody because they wouldn't read the title that was placed on the page. And what happened was I said, well, just read the book and we can talk about mm-hmm. why you dislike the title. Because the title will attract people to read the book, but oftentimes that title also pushes people away. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm interested, so I want to know a little mm-hmm. bit more.
Mm-hmm. You know, normally I wait till the end of the show to do our quote, and I'll do that again. But Cicero, this is how I ended up with the quote at the beginning of the show, because I was looking for quotes on books. Now, I love books. I've always been a voracious reader. Lincoln was a voracious reader. Actually, the founding fathers, they all were. And so Cicero, he said, a room without books is like a body without a soul. And so what's your comments on that, Brad Beck?
Well, it's a beautiful quote. And I love books, whether it's a new bookstore or a old used bookstore. In fact, I love old bookstores.
I do too.
And I love the exploring, and I love looking at what they have available. And to think the people that read that book prior to me mm-hmm. and who touched it and who read the same pages, the same words, how did it affect them? Mm-hmm. What did they think about those words? Mm-hmm. And that's all really we humans have to express ourselves, our words, our visuals. But the word paints a picture in our mind, but it also gives us ideas. And even if you don't like the idea, it may strengthen your position because now you know the opposition. And if you know your side and the opposition and whatever the subject matter is, you become stronger. And I think that's an important aspect today that we don't have in a lot of dialogue.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about physical books. I never have, I know many people do, so it's not a judgment thing or whatever, but I never have done the Nook or the, you know, the iPad or anything. There's something to me about having a book in my hand and turning the pages and then also knowing that it's not going to disappear. And so like burning of, you know, taking down the statues and burning books and those things, it's sacrilegious to me to burn a book.
Well, I grew up in a time where I didn't write in books. I mean, I know a lot of people that write notes in the margins of books. I always wrote notes in notebooks, now in my iPad. Mm-hmm. But I always take notes when I'm reading something so I can remember it later, the significant things to me, so I can go back and reference it. And I'll put mm-hmm. the page number, so if I actually want to see it, or I'll mm-hmm. take a picture of it on my iPhone, and then I'll keep it, and I'll use it for reference later. And I've got a tickler file, if you will, mm-hmm. or a file of different ideas that I put together. So when I'm writing or thinking about putting together something or a speech, I have this file to reference back. But like you, I love the smell of old books. Mm-hmm. I love the feel of them. When I'm the guy on the airplane when I was traveling quite a bit prior to this health crisis. You know, I was the guy with the 300-500 page book, you know, in my bag. And what was interesting about that is everybody else has got their entertainment and I'm reading a book, mm-hmm. especially on a late night flight. So I'm the guy with the one light on,
right,
disturbing everybody reading a book. But it's amazing how many people come up to you and go, "What are you reading?
Mm-hmm.
Any good?
Mm-hmm.
Should I get it?"
Mm-hmm.
And you have huge influence having the opportunity to do something totally different that most people don't do anymore.
Well, and so you're telling me that you typically will put a picture up. So we have on our website a picture that you sent over of a bourbon and a book and a Belvedere. And the book that you're reading, Dennis Prager, on Genesis, God, Creation, and Destruction. That looks pretty fascinating. So how about we go to break, and I'd like to ask you about that. Have you finished that book?
I'm almost done, about 150 pages to go.
Okay, we'll talk about it when we come back. This is Kim Munson. Brad Beck, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, is in studio with me, so stay tuned. We're going to talk about the book he's reading.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. It's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we would appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We post a lot of really interesting things, a lot of people weighing in with your thoughts on that, and I really, really appreciate that. In studio with me is my good friend, Brad Beck, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. You have helped countless people learn how to communicate and listen better. And that's a really good thing, Brad Beck.
Well, I love to see people go from the total fear of public mm-hmm. speaking to being fabulous mm-hmm. at being able to communicate. And I've seen it time and time again. And so with repetition and restatement, you get people to remember your message. And that's from David Brooks, a world champion of public speaking.
Well, it's a true gift, and also the friendships. I would, you know, we don't agree. Like, we were talking about table topics earlier in the show, where people are given a topic, and then they speak impromptu about that, and we realize we don't agree on everything, and we're always respectful. Many times we'll go out to lunch afterwards, and I find that that's probably what happened with the founding fathers. We deliberate these ideas, and sometimes there's actually some pretty significant emotion in it, Brad Beck.
All the time, all the time. Well, and you said something significant there, Kim, is we may we respect each other because of the friendships and the repetition of going to the meetings and getting to know the people. We may not agree with their ideas, but we're able to take their ideas and say, that's interesting, tell me more. Or expound on that at lunch or when we mm-hmm. are after the meetings. Because when you're in the meetings, you're listening and you're respectful. And unlike most discourse on media, it doesn't matter what it is, there's talking past each other. Here we're listening. And then after the meeting or in an evaluation, we're doing critique on how they delivered that message as opposed to the message itself. Then when we go to lunch, we might have battles of ideas, but that's okay.
We deliberate there.
We do.
And that is a bit of an art that's missing a lot as well. So let's talk about your op-ed that is on my website, A Book, A Bourbon, and A Belvedere. First of all, I love the alliteration on that, but A Belvedere, I'm like, is that a cigar? What is that exactly? And I think, Steve, you said that it's what, a cartoon or something? I mean, it has a lot of different definitions.
Could be a comic strip. It could be in Latin, it means a beautiful view. It's like a cupola on top of a building.
Okay.
Yeah, for years it was a single frame or a single panel thing in the comic section about Great Dane named Belvedere.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of goofy.
Okay. So in this case, though, a Belvedere can be a cigar as well.
Yeah, type of cigar, like a Churchill or other types of cigars. Different companies make different versions of it.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about, your op-ed and your book. Let's talk, first of all, I'm intrigued about the book that you were reading that you had posted, Dennis Prager, Genesis, God, Creation, and Destruction. That looks fascinating.
It is. I had the opportunity to listen to Dennis Prager at the leadership program of the Rockies Retreat earlier mm-hmm. this year. We were able to meet before all this craziness. And I picked up both of his books that he had written. He's writing five books on the Torah, the five books of Moses, and that's the Hebrew Bible. And having the same heritage, the background mm-hmm. that he does, this is a commentary. It's like the Talmud, which is the oral tradition as opposed to the written tradition of the Creator. Mm-hmm. And so he has a commentary on what those folks were talking about at that time because the language is so different. And he actually uses the original Hebrew meaning. So the word Israel is to struggle with God. I find that fascinating. Most people don't know that. Mm-hmm. And in the Jewish tradition, you're always struggling with God and what he says and why he said it. And I think that's one of the unique attributes of the Jewish tradition. So what is Dennis Prager talking about? He's giving you an idea of what they're saying, or at least what the experts who have read the Bible, who understand it, and they give their idea. Now, you may disagree with it, but again, it's an opportunity to understand and learn before you go out and start spouting off your view mm-hmm. of what it means or what it is all about. And so what I find fascinating about this book, it's saying things that I've never read in a certain way. And so I'm getting some new ideas, and it's fascinating. It's the foundational book of our Western tradition, and we're losing that. And I think we need to know more and more about what the basis is between Jerusalem and Athens and have the ability to discuss and understand it. And then that's where our founders got the ideas mm-hmm. of our greater nation. So how does that fit into everyday life? He talks in the book, what I found fascinating, the idea of the three mirrors. And in the three mirrors, there's the mirror that reflects ourselves, our physical selves. And you look at the mirror and you say, okay, here's how I look, but this is how I look to others. The second mirror he talks about is the mirror of the mind. And what's that? That's the mirror of thoughts. So when you write, you get clarity of thought, usually. Mm-hmm. Although when you go to college and you read some of the books that they assigned you, you think, God, am I an idiot? Mm-hmm. No, you realize that the people are writing gobbledygook and it doesn't make any sense mm-hmm. for a reason, mm-hmm. especially a lot of the progressive writers. And so you start to think, well, wait a minute, I'm reading this person over here as clarity, like a John Locke or an Adams or somebody of that
Edmund
nature.
Burke. Or,
I mean, you get it pretty quickly. And then some of the stuff that I've read to understand where the opposition comes from, there's no clarity there. So the mind, the mirror of the mind. And then the third mirror is the mirror of character. Who do you surround yourself with? And that's often a reflection of who you are. Because if you surround yourself with good people, with good intent, they're smart. I always try to surround myself with smarter people. I think it's
important.
That's
why you hang with me.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I always learn
something. Don't say anything, Steve.
But you always learn from those folks as well. And it challenges you to be better. So if you surround yourself by people that are not of good intent, you probably are going to be influenced by them. So I like that idea of three mirrors.
Okay. So on that note, books could be like that.
Yeah.
So what do you read? I mean, I'm taking this to character as well. So, you know, there's junk out there.
Oh,
people
yeah.
say, you know, we talk about, you know, reading is important, but what you read, what you put into your mind is so important. And so surrounding yourself with people of character, you know, thinkers, you know, wanting to make things better. I really think that that could go on into what you read. Don't read junk.
Right.
You know, you only have so many hours in a day. You know, make sure that you're spending it building things up. And so I'm taking that to books as well. Be careful not only what you read, but what you watch and all that, Fran.
I just finished a book called Thinker Toys by Michael Mihalko. And it's brilliant. And I have the original edition. He's updated it for today. But what the book is about is creativity, how to think creative. And there's a series of activities that you can do. The book's about 330 pages. Mm-hmm. But I was reading a different idea every day. So for almost a year now, I've been reading a different idea along with some other books. And I'll have two or three books going at one time mm-hmm. just because I want to digest what they have to say, mm-hmm. write the notes. And then how does it deal with other books? I'm about to start one by Matt Ridley, who's a great thinker. He's an Englishman, and he wrote The Rational Optimist, which I love. It's a great book. But I'm reading the book on innovation and how innovation works, especially when you have freedom.
Mm.
Innovation doesn't happen when you are constrained.
No.
It happens when you see something, you say, how can I improve that? How can I take it from where it is? The inventor is important, but the innovator taking that idea and taking it to the next level gets us to where we are today through technology and through our ability to think rationally. I think it's so important today.
For sure. Let's talk a little bit about your op-ed. Now, go to my website so you can read the whole thing, but it's so important for us to be having conversations with each other. That's why we do this show. Is hopefully we're helping to plant seeds of knowledge and questioning, and we're always searching for truth. Patty does a really good job. We want to make sure that we source things, what we're talking about, so that, and if for some reason we make a mistake, we will let you know. We're always searching for truth. But having these conversations are so important. So tell us just a little bit about the reason that you wrote this op-ed.
Well, I think the greatest gift we can give our children and our grandchildren is the gift of reading, and reading things that will make them think. And so one of the things I like to encourage, and I've done this, my grandkids always say, oh, I got a birthday present. Guess what it is from Grand Brad? They call me Grand Brad. It's a book, usually. Mm-hmm. I love to encourage people to read, to think critically. Having the ability to read a wide variety of ideas. So that's why I wrote the articles. Not enough people are reading today books. They're reading off their Kindle, which is fine. I have no problem with that. And when you're on a long trip, a lot of times, you know, slim.
When I went to Normandy, I took a book on Churchill in my Bible.
Yeah.
They got heavy,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
walking around with them.
Right. So there is a proper place for them. And I have a lot of things on my devices to read when I don't have a book around. But I always have a book. And I love the idea of physically holding it, of thinking about it, of going back and rereading it, of thinking about how that applies to me. Does it have significance? So if we want to have legacy in our life, if we want to pass on to the next generation ideas, I think it's important to teach them to read and read well so you are able to converse with people. I mean, The Little Engine That Could, I read that probably once a month. It's the greatest book on attitude, if you think you can. It's a kid's book, mm-hmm. but it's really a book mm-hmm. about life. And I think more and more people need to read that and other children's books just to get an idea of where we're from. The great myths, the great legends.
Mm-hmm. And what is that? I love that book as well. And I can't remember who said it, but if you think you can, you're right. And if you think you can't, You're right also. Yeah, so.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we have just about a minute. What's the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today, Brad Beck?
Well, take the time out in your day, put it in your calendar to read more. 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening before you go to bed. Read when you can. Take those minutes and minutes you have just standing in line, read something. And don't watch TV as much, unless you're watching a good documentary. Mm-hmm. There is so much literature out there. There are poems. There are books on business and public policy. And so there's a world of ideas. Read more. You'll be more informed. And people around you will understand where you're coming from.
And one other quick thing. If people want more information about Liberty Toastmasters, how can they get that?
Go online, libertytoastmasters.org. There's two clubs, one in Denver and one in Longmont. Longmont meets this Saturday.
Okay, and we'd love to have you. It's really a lot of fun. So, Brad Beck, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
And we've got a great week planned for you next week. It is Independence Week, so be sure and tune in. So today, Marcus Tullius Cicero said, "A room without books is like a body without a soul." So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a